Leave, let him go home. Let him go home. I'm sure when that guy gets home, he will worship. You won't believe it. We kneel down and worship. What am I going to say? You can't, there's no way. Look, if God decides to cap you somewhere, you run anywhere, you are not released from it. Because you're a child of God. So he says simply to you, if I say this is my perfect will and you are not experiencing it, ask why. Ask why. And the solution is never from outside. It's always first from inside. I was saying that prospering is not the number one assignment God is working on in your life. It's not. I don't know the number it is. Maybe it's number 3, number 4, number 6, number 7. I don't know. But the one I know is number 1 is that he's developing the Christ-like nature that it must be fully manifested in you. That's number 1 assignment. He's pouring his spirit and his word into you so that you will become exactly like Christ Jesus. That's his number 1 assignment. And if working that one out means removing the prosperity that is his perfect will, he will. Because that's not the number 1 assignment. Go and read through the scriptures, the book of Psalms. The Psalms are a very prophetic collection of prophecies. I mean, like, collection of, you know, about 5 books actually, right? Seriously prophetic. Psalms is not song. It's not just songs. They are prophetic. They describe your life today. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now I obey your word. So if I walk into affliction, the first thing I ask myself is, where have I gone astray? Are you getting my point? The first thing I ask is what? Where have I gone astray? Listen, people say, it is the devil. It is your enemies. It is not the devil. It is not your enemies. Once you have settled where you went, people say, resist the devil. It is true. You should resist the devil. But how do you resist him? Steadfast in what? Your faith. Steadfastness of faith is resistance to the devil. It's not shouting, I resist him, I resist him, I resist him. Those are words. Those are words. Those are words. Steadfastness of faith is automatic resistance to the devil. What am I going to explain? We're talking about God's perfect will, and if we don't experience it, there is no evil, there are no witches. I've heard people say, hey, my wife is not the one I'm talking about. I've heard people describe to her, it is this person that's chopping our prosperity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So anytime we do business, the money will just vanish like smoke. Poof. I heard that it is these people, they say, if we don't join this cult, it is in the family, we will never prosper. I know for a while, I start wondering that, how is that thing possible? Listen to me. Let me just tell you quickly in case you are wondering. It's not possible. Your father cannot say that if you don't join his cult, you can never prosper in life. He can say, the money that the cult gave me, I can't give you. He has a right to say that. Amen? No, why are you doing like you don't believe it? Amen?
Amen.
He has a right. And if you remove your eyes and if you realize he's not your God, if your father's an Ogboni man, is very rich, don't just, once you leave school, leave him. Pray for him. Visit him regularly as his son visits the father. Prophesy upon him. Oh, daddy, how are you doing? Praise God. Amen. It's well with you, daddy. Ah, I've been praying for you that Jesus... Stop saying that in this house. Yeah, but you know that's what I believe. Say, I've bought cars for all your siblings. It's only you. I say, yeah, my own friends who are my mates, they don't have cars, so it's not a problem. I'm a good company. God will prosper me. I'll buy my own. You can't use car to drag me into a cult. Wait. Are they smoke? I know they smoke. you're not going to explain. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to say something there. So if that's the situation, you have no problem there. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you are working hard. They now tell you. I mean, you are praying. God is blessing you. People say the reason why you're not increasing is because you have not joined your father's court. It's a lie. What did I say? Some of you don't have this problem. So you wonder, Pastor, what are you talking about? I have heard these things. The one I have in mind, by the time I dealt with the people directly, I knew even if I was God, I would not prosper them. Are you getting what I'm saying? All the while, people have been blaming, it's my cultic parents, it's my parents from here, then deal with them directly. And you say, no, the devil doesn't need to keep you in poverty. You are keeping yourself in poverty. You know, there are jobs you do, you have released the devil to go and afflict somebody else. He said, maybe they send an evil spirit to come and keep this guy in power. He gets there. You see the way the guy is doing? You just go back to the chief commanding demon. He said, why are you back? He said, find another assignment. That guy is keeping himself in poverty. He doesn't need us. The way he spends, whether we are there or not, he can never prosper. The way he deceives people, whether we are there or not, he can never prosper. Even if he steals, the money he stole will disappear. They just say, leave him there. Do you follow the point I'm making? I have seen people make such statements. Listen, it's not true. Nobody can keep you down because you have not joined their cult. Because it says in your family. I've heard life testimonies of how that's how the family prospered. One young man once, physically, he saw a woman with goat legs. You know the goat legs? He saw a woman carrying a child. And he looked down, she was a goat from the waist. And a human from above. And a young boy coming from school. True Jesus. So when he saw it, he disappeared and ran home to go and tell his father what he saw. And the father brought out a goat for sacrifice. Why? That we must thank the gods who have now introduced themselves to my son. And the father said, don't you know that is the source of our wealth? I'm so happy today that the gods have deemed it fit to introduce themselves to you. Why are you shouting? And the boy was like 10 years old or 12 or something like that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what am I saying? If any problem, all right, is in the life of a believer, we don't focus on the devil or any of such excuses. What we do is we say, where is God my maker? Are you getting my point? Where is what? God my maker. But listen, we must know the perfect will of God. So we know where we're not walking up to it. Are you getting my point? Let me get back to the one I started with. That's 3 John chapter 3. These days, people have misused prosperity. And the greatest of the culprits are preachers. But I want to explain something to you today. It is still God's will that his children should prosper. Say amen, please.
Amen.
It is still God's will that his children should prosper.
Amen.
Listen to me. I want to just give it to you straight. God can pass you through phases in life. Because the Bible says that he's supposed to be a king one day. When he's still young, it's not different from a servant. True or false? He must be trained. Somebody said something once, when Prince Charles and maybe his sons, when they were in school, all of them went to military school. Said those days when they are in military school, the seniors will take it upon themselves to punish them. Willie, come here. So the Willie will come. Salute. Yes, sir. You stand there. I forgot which particular prince was telling the story. So one day he got tired. And he went and reported to the commanding officer. That one said, don't mind them. They know one day you are going to be king. So they want to be able to tell their children that one day I punish the king. Just endure it. Though you are going to be king one day, right now, you are not different from any other officer. The other day, one of the princes in England was sent to Afghanistan for military duty. They had to withdraw him when the press leaked the battalion he was in, because they will now become a special target. So they had to withdraw him. But the guy went for normal military duty. What am I saying? It is God's perfect will that you prosper abundantly. But you might go through stages before you reach there. But it does not change the fact that it's God's perfect will. Listen, let nobody tell you that all a Christian needs in life is just enough to get by. It's not true. He said God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you have all sufficiency in all things and then literally super abound. So much that doing good works will not become an effort. Let me say severally, Christians should give out of the little they have. True of us? True of us? But that's not God's perfect will. That's for training stages. When you have been trained, giving will be, by default. What I mean by default is that you don't have to think about it. If they stole from you, you wouldn't feel it. If you gave, you wouldn't feel it. Are you getting my point? Once a man of God, Archbishop Benson, that also said something. He said, then he believed in tithing. 10%. He said, one day he told God, let's switch it. You take 90, let me take 10. He said, I'm still trying to catch up with spending the 10%. That's God's perfect will. That here, amen. God does not, he does not manage. And what he's doing in your life is that you will get to a point where you will never manage. Listen, let me say, it may sound worldly, but it's a matter of fact, a time will come. You will wake up, and it will be a regular thing. You will charter a plane, carry all your family, travel abroad, and stay there for weeks until you are tired, and you come back home, and you don't notice you have spent money. It is not worldliness. It's just the way God is. That's just the way he is. That's just the way he is. That's just the way he is. A time will come. Listen. Some people, prayer buying car is prayer point. A time will come that when you want to give me, yes, I will not say people, me, Pastor Banky, a gift. It will be a Rolls Royce Phantom that you pay £250,000 to buy. And it's just like you bought your wife a ring. Do you get my point? That's how easy you will buy it. That's God's perfect will. Yes, it is. Listen, this is God's perfect will. You know, Jesus said, give to all that ask of you. Have you ever heard that thing before? That is one scripture that is one of the toughest scriptures in life to obey if you want to work hard to obey in it. Give to all that ask of you. You know that woman downstairs just now? I saw her carrying megaphone. Repent, repent. Jesus is coming. You must believe. Then I said, I came from my car. He said, oh God, come buy me something. So I asked her, are you preaching or you are begging? I stopped. I said, I asked her. You know, as I parked, she walked out to my car and stood near my door. She was still blowing the megaphone. Repent, repent. You must repent. As I came down, she greeted me. I said, I should come and buy something for her. I should give her money to buy something. So I said, listen, madam, are you preaching or you are begging? I can't even remember the answer she gave me. But among the many things she said is that, I have come here driving a car. She's telling me to come and buy something. Which one am I saying? So I told myself, talking to the woman inside my heart, I said, your head is not correct. So as I left the place, I told myself, no, Banky, it is your own head that is not correct. As I was climbing the stairs, I told myself, it is your head that is not correct. You saw that woman. What conversation are you having with her because she begged you for money? I've given her money before, actually. So I just, well, initial issue would be like, why are you messing this gospel? I don't know if you ever traveled by Kennedy Electrical. There's another woman there with gospel tracts. The tract of the kingdom of God. It is free, it is free. If you want to, he said it is free. They have to collect, he said, do you want to give an offering to support the work of God? You know, can you imagine this? Jesus said, give to every one of them. About God, no go near them. If they are telling lies, they give to all that ask of you. You know, this is how we interpret it. No, what he meant was that, you know, we start, because you can't give to everybody, you start explaining what he meant. Literally, what he said is what? Give to all that ask of you. Pastor Banky, have you been doing it? The answer is no. But did he say so? Yes. Why have I not been doing it? It's called coming short of the glory of God. Don't ask more questions than that. I can have all kinds of excuses. Why should they be bastardizing the gospel like that? In fact, I'm angry. I am angry. It's just the holy anger, the righteous indignation of God. Give to all that ask of you. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You can explain it from now till tomorrow. All these children that beg, I hate giving. Now, these are the things I say. These are not hypothetical situations. They are the kind of thoughts that come through my mind. But I will never rewrite that scripture that says, give to all that ask of you. Let me give you the saying of God. Before I tell you that, all right? It was said of M.K. Abiola. How many of you heard of M.K. Abiola? That he never turned anybody that asked him for money down. Total strangers walk up to him. He said a woman, the husband needed kidney transplant. Walked up to him. Somebody said, go and meet M.K. Abiola. If you can see him, he'll give you the money. Walked up to him and explained to him. They said he asked her how much. I think he said 30,000 pounds. He said, okay, come back tomorrow. Give her 30,000 pounds. He didn't know her from Adam. To let you know it is possible. Let me give you the saying of God concerning prosperity. You will prosper to that level that literally you will give to all that ask of you. Literally. All. You will have a portion for beggars. I can help you with that. Anyway, let's not go into the sociology of begging now. The Bible says give crumbs to beggars. Pack crumbs there. Give to all that ask of you. Small change. Nigeria has 5 naira, 10 naira, pack them plenty. Give to all that ask of you. If you're in doubt, give. Is he lying or telling the truth? In case he's telling the truth, give him the portion. I'm giving you the perfect will of God. You will prosper so much. You will give, you will not, that is, your prosperity is so great, you will give to all that ask of you and you are not even dented. I didn't hear the amen.
Amen.
It is the will of God. It is never the will of God for his children to manage. It is not. I said all the things I said up to this point because you say, but I have managed. Yes, me preaching to you, I still manage a lot of times. But does not change that God's plan is that he will make all grace abound towards me so that I, having all sufficiency in all things, I will super abound to every good work. He said, but Pastor, there was a time Paul said, I learned how to abase. It is a matter of fact. Therefore, we also learn how to abase. But Paul said all those sufferings are sacrifices for the faith of those he was ministering to. The perfect will of God still remains. And that's Paul himself writing. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All according to his riches in glory, not according to your need. I don't know whether I hear that. If you need 200 naira, he gives you 200 naira. It's according to your need. According to his riches in glory. Let me explain. There are times, you know, I do some fantasy thinking. I just sit down. Maybe there's a particular car I like. I just say, Lord, I like that motor. And they say it's 12 million naira. I say, between you and me, if you give me 12 million, you know I will never buy it. Let's... Yes? So why? Let me just summarize that I won't. Do I like the car? Is it too? You know, people say that, what are you doing with a car of 12 million naira? You know, poverty mentality is a terrible thing. It does not allow you to appreciate good things when they come. You can't afford it does not mean it's not good. Just say it is good, but I can't afford it. The Lord is good. There's no fight in it. Are you getting my point? And that's one thing God taught me long ago. If a man decides to fly to go and see the sky for $20 million because he's a rich man, it's his problem, not my problem. If you gave me $20 million, I ain't flying anywhere. But he didn't come to beg me for $20 million, did he? He dipped his hand in his pocket, paid $20 million, and flew to the sky to go and see the world from above. Maybe he has some crucial prayer points in there to carry closer to heaven. You don't know. It's none of my business. He has the money. Are you getting my point? Now, this is where I'm going. So if God gave me 12 million to buy the car, he knows I won't buy it. So you know what he will do? If he wants me to buy it, he has to give me 100 million. I don't know whether you get that point. So that by the time I'm paying 12 million for a car, I won't feel like an evil spirit. Because if he gave me 12 million, even unless you come and say, I, thy Lord, Banky, I'm appearing to you. See me here. Let me pinch your nose so that when you wake up, you'll see the mark. You know I really came. I am commanding you, go and pay that money for that car. And since I doubt seriously whether he'll go through that kind of trouble because of motor car. So, this is how he supplies your need according to his own riches in glory. Said, don't mind him. If you give him 12 million now, he's so prudent, he won't. So, give him 200. So, let him give offering to satisfy his soul with 100. Let him do some other things with 50 to satisfy his soul. Then, when the money has remained 12, he will be willing to buy it. It is called supplying all your needs according to his riches in glory. God's perfect will, listen to me, saints of God, is that your needs will be supplied according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's God's perfect will. Men have become covetous. It does not stop the fact that God wants his children to prosper. You've known me for a very long time. I'm not a typical prosperity preacher. But it does not change the fact that God wants his children to prosper. Poverty and holiness are not the same thing. People say that the rich are not happy. There are more happy rich people than there are happy poor people. You know that? A rich man does not worry about his rent. He does not. A poor man worries about his rent. He can be happy when he has paid the rent, but until he pays it, income. The rich man may be sick. Poor people also fall sick. What are you saying? I'm a doctor. Don't try me. I know. As rich people fall sick, so poor people fall sick. As rich people develop mental illness, so poor people develop mental illness. In fact, the mental illness of a poor person is more terrible. Because everybody will know. We had a ruler in Nigeria that developed a mental illness. They flew him to Switzerland for treatment and returned him to his post as a minister. For those of you who are aware, you know what I'm talking about. He has severe mental breakdown. The president said, no, you are the man for the job. He said, I'm too sick. He resigned. The president said, I lie. They took a plane, chartered an ambulance, flew him to Switzerland, treated him by force and brought him back home. If it was a poor man from one village, you know what they do? They release him to the streets of Enugu. Let nobody deceive you that poverty and holiness are one and the same. They are not. Abraham was holy, true of us. Isaac was holy, true of us. Go and read your scriptures and know the story of Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac sold in that land. And that same year he reaped 100-fold. And the man became rich and became very rich until he became very wealthy. So much that the Philistines began to envy him. Let me add something to you before we leave. Don't ever be angry with a man because he's rich. You can be angry with a man if you are sure he's a thief. Amen? But don't just see, as people say that, all these rich people, they are criminals. I told, well, the man was a prof telling me. I said, sir, how do you know? He said, so all, what you know, there are statements you make, God will make sure you will never prosper in your life. So all this, your hard work, what you have said is that, God, please don't ever increase me. Because that way I become a criminal. If you don't know, shut your mouth. I play some funny tricks on the road. If I see a very fine car in my mirror, I slow down, overtake. You say, why? Ah, not the respect person. Overtake. I don't lie against the truth. Bishop Oedipo said, I believe in good things because good things are good. Did I hear an amen? He said, I believe in good things because good things are what? They are good. Good things are not bad. They are good. Don't pretend. Listen, if God gets your heart into the correct place, you know the interesting thing about the Lord? Let me just end it with this. He doesn't prosper covetous Christians. He doesn't. It's a terrible thing. It's risky. The man will deny God. First, he brings you to a place where you are like Paul. Whether you have or you don't have, the Lord be praised. Then he prospers you so much because he knows that it won't affect you. What am I telling you? Wherever you are in life now, develop that godliness in your heart. You will never break a law because a man is rich, so he will bless you. You know that kind of thing. You will help the poor when you can. When you don't have, listen, God is testing you every day. There are those who woke up in the morning, no money in their pocket, and say, God, with all this prayer I've been praying, where have you been? That morning, they just lie down, they vex. Somebody knocks. Hello, my God, what are you looking for? Don't you sleep in your house? It's poverty. I told the story once. A man who I asked, I went to collect my coat. Please, this is my coat. That's in the hospital. They were dry cleaning it. This is a cleaning for us, the laundry. Please, that's mine. Let me have it. He gave me one with a frown on his face. I said, sir, there are two of them. Can you just look for the second one? He said, no. I should go. I should take that one and go. I said, please, there are two. They are lined. Just look there. He looked at me. I said, sir, what problem will it be? He said, it's a problem. I've given you one. Please go away. A few minutes before that, a man had come to tell him that one particular money they were waiting for had not been paid. Now the man, frown face, took out his anger on me, who came to collect me. Listen, God will take you through that kind of test. When the money doesn't come, still sit down there and bless the name of the Lord. Put your head down and say, Lord, I thank you. I thought it will come. It won't come. When the young doctor who wants his coat, call, you want your coat? Are there three or four? Are you sure that not up to seven? Collect it for him one by one. Be happy and rejoice. Before, listen to me. This is a prophetic word. Before you get home, God will bless you with something you were not expecting. That's what he does. He takes you through tests like that. One day he's going to give you plenty of money. You now wake up and say, this is my turn. Only you will chop the whole money. God says, look at this one. He is not ready to prosper yet. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But listen, when you have reached there, and little by little you are getting there. There and say, you know, little by little you are getting there. But listen to me. One day, you will look back and wonder, what does it mean not to have money? You don't know what it means anymore. You will walk to a church. The pastor will say, you know, this building, at the end, you will do like one man ahead of. Say, pastor, come. How much is it required? Is required to complete this building? He will tell you, I say, preach your message. You know, you bring out the check, will say, sir, please. I'm going to give you this money if you make a pledge. Say, well, that will only preach the word of God. I won't complain from the pulpit. The man will pledge. We pledge. In Jesus' name. I will never do anything else but preach the word of God. You sign the chair and say, sir, I'm not a member of your church, but please, preach the gospel. You will do it one day. Amen. I said you will do it one day. Amen. One day, Bishop Edipo said he went to East Africa. He went to go and preach. Then the pastor told him he was planning to go to America to go and look for a job so he can get some money and come back home. Bishop said, what? So he opened his briefcase. Like, how much do you make after all those trips? He counted money, gave the man, said, look, take. Stay here behind them. Preach the gospel. All this one rushes to go and walk small and coming back home to preach. Not necessary. He opened his briefcase, gave the man money, and said, please stay at home and preach. You will do it one day too. Amen. I said, you will do it one day too. Amen. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. That is the saying of God to you today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks if we are blessed today.